The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Father, we just thank you for the truth of those words, that we are able to acknowledge you are alive. You have risen. We thank you that you appeared to the disciples and you said to the disciples many, many times, you were able to prove to them that you were alive after you'd risen from the grave. And Lord, we celebrate that today. We celebrate that we worship a living God. Not a God made of stone or of hands, anything that we can fabricate. But we worship a God who is alive and is at work in and through each one of us. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity of remembering you this morning. Thank you for the opportunity of experiencing you. And I pray that now as we turn our attention to your word, you'd greatly encourage us. We seek that you would minister to us individually by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Great to have you with us in our second service this morning, and super to have Chris and the team back sharing and leading worship. Great to have the young adults with us and sharing in our morning services. It's good to have them back, and you got the old fella and you got the young team. So it's a good combination, a bit like Keith Ash, that's right, Ash. You had the nice contrast also there in terms of teachers. And at our age, at my age, I just thank God for every day. I wake up in the morning and I don't say, good Lord, it's morning. I wake up and I say, good morning, Lord. Another opportunity. Breathe in a bit of oxygen. Stretch. I need to stretch. Otherwise, I don't get going. I need to stretch, and I thank the Lord for another day. And it's out of that that I want to share with you this morning. If you have Bibles, turn to Psalm 100, and you can follow along in your translation. But I couldn't help, as I sat there and then worshipped with the team in our services today, to think of the contrast of where I was last Sunday. I had to catch 5 flights of aeroplanes to get where I needed to get to in a place called Patna in Bihar State, which is one of the northern states of India, and to spend time with a new mission, a mission that's only 5 years old. But God sovereignly is doing something like I've never seen before. But this time, last Sunday, I was with 30 couples, some of whom were only believers for 3 months, but they'd had 6 weeks of training, and then they were released and sent out. And when I say they were sent out, you remember in Luke's Gospel and in each of the Gospels, actually, there's the account of the disciples. They've been taught, and then they're sent out. And you remember how much they're sent out with? Nothing. They had to travel light, and they just carried a little satchel with them, and they went. And they went seeking opportunities to minister. And these people are sent out without a rupee, without 2 cents to their name. They're sent out, and they have a Bible, and they have a testimony. They have their experience of Jesus and how Jesus has touched their lives. And I listened for 3.5 hours to miracle story after miracle story after miracle story. Supernatural healings. Everybody testified to that. Some of them spoke about the way that God had intervened in their own lives. And these are people who had been raised in the context of many gods through the Hindu faith. And they were sharing of how Jesus had transformed their lives, and they were learning to be Christ followers. And some of those who came to training came not as Christians. Can you believe that? The husband or the wife came to do the training, and the partner has to come as well. But in the event of being trained, they come to know Jesus, and as brand new Christians, they've got to go out and just trust God for the next 6 weeks. And I was there. They had arrived back the night before, when I arrived. I arrived around midday, and I was taken straight to this simple training facility. An Aussie wouldn't go to a place like that to be trained. They would think it was not up to par or standard. We had to walk through mud to get there. And it's a training facility where they are training hundreds and hundreds of people every year who go out as evangelists and believers. There's the expectation in this movement of God. It's called the New Life Movement. There's the expectation that everybody has a story, and you are expected to share your story. Like the woman of Samaria. So every new believer has the story of their encounter with Jesus and the way that Jesus has changed their lives, and then they learn some scripture and they're given some basic Bible education, and out they go, trusting God. Friends, in 5 years, 7,000 house churches have been planted. You don't become a house church until you've got 10 baptized believers, but you do the sums. Some of those churches are as big as 30 now. And God is just doing something that is way under the radar, way under the knowledge. Very few people know about this movement of God that is taking place through 4 states. And their vision? It's a small one. They want to see 240,000 churches planted, because there are 240,000 villages in 4 states where there's no church. And they want a church in every village to the glory of God. And you sit with these people. There's not one church building. Not one church building in the movement. By the way, have you read your book of Acts lately? Have you read the epistles? Tell me, how many church buildings do you find? There's not one. In the New Testament. Not one place like this for Christians to gather. It was homes. And it was borrowed Hall of Tyrannus or something like that. It was public facilities. Not one church building. It wasn't until the 3rd century that church buildings are even mentioned, and most of them were converted temples from pagan gods that were transformed into Christian churches and places for the church to gather. It's the closest thing to the book of Acts. But I don't know about you, friends. I hear that, and sometimes I experience that, and then as I fly back through the night, and I have had 3 nights where I got no sleep in the last 10 days through flying and transport and all the rest of it, and I just, the burden grows for here. I want Aussies to experience the power of God. I want Aussies to hear about Jesus. I want Aussies to experience Jesus. I want Aussies, when they meet you, when they meet me, that they encounter people who are different. Different because of the work of God's Spirit within. And we so desperately need to be able to live in our world of plenty with a dependence upon God. A dependence upon God that's tangible, that's real, that has substance attached to it. And friends, when people see you, when they see me, they need to see Jesus. They need to encounter Jesus. And I have some beautiful neighbours. I want them to come to know Jesus. They don't know Jesus yet. They're lost. They got everything this world can offer, but they don't have Jesus. And when we leave this place, all Aussies are going to leave everything they've accumulated and everything we've accumulated, and we leave it all behind. The only things we take with us are the things of eternity. And so when I experience this and I see these people who have virtually nothing as far as this world is concerned, and I see their passion for Jesus, I think somehow we got it a bit wrong. We got all the stuff, but our Jesus is small. And our Jesus, our God, in our estimation and in our thinking, has got to grow. So thank you. Thank you for the way you as a church and part of the C2C support you give us enables me to do this ministry, and along with others, we're able to encourage some of these people in the incredible things they're doing for God. One other highlight of the trip for me, I spent 4 days with Giacomo, our leader out of Bangalore, and we spent 4 days training pastors and encouraging them, and I had the privilege of connecting with men that I trained 25 years ago, before I even came to South Perth. And there they are, faithfully serving God in Andhra Pradesh and Tamil Nadu in very, very difficult, militant, hostile circumstances. And these fellows were just so warm and so accepting. They encouraged me. They asked me how I'd stayed so young when they were so old. I didn't think that, but that was at least the biggest encouragement physically that I received on the trip. But a great joy to meet with men that we had encountered in the late 80s and early 90s. Psalm 100. What a great series. Your favourites. Old Testament favourites. And I have a heap of passages I'd love to be able to speak on, but as you pray about which is which for which time and circumstances, I'd led to a passage, and I put Rod on the spot after the first service. I said, hey mate, do you remember that? And he said, what? I said, my message. No, I don't remember it. I quizzed a few others and they said, no, they didn't remember it. And I thought, that's good, because I preached it 23 years ago when I started at South Perth. So you're getting a rerun. It's a little bit different, but the outline's the same. But the reality is, this passage of Scripture has become so real to me and so important to me. It's carried me through dark times personally. It's carried me through dark times in ministry. And my hope is that it will change your perspective if it needs changing, so that your approach to life is a little different than what it's been. Because this psalm is a psalm of praise. And it's a psalm that tells us praise changes things. And I've got 5 little principles that we'll run through very quickly, verse by verse, that they're unpacked for us. And we'll start with verse 1, and that is, when you praise the Lord, you will actually come to know other people better. Did you know that? Have you ever heard the saying, if you smile at the world smiles with you? You've heard that, haven't you? All right, I practice that as a way of life. With my grandchildren, just a week and a half ago, we had to do some shopping, and there were a couple of people that were at counters. You know, checkout people, whether they're a man or a woman, and they were grumpy, and they weren't very happy, and they were struggling with the customers. And I said to Geordie and Tay, I said, hey, let's brighten this bloke's life up, hey? Let's get a smile out of him, or let's brighten this lady's life up. You won't get a smile out of her, Pop. Look at that, you know. And just to get along and then engage and pay a compliment and encourage them, and their whole demeanor changes, and suddenly they're helping you. The reality is, people will respond to the vibe we give off. Now, we have the supernatural spirit of the living God in us. We ought to give off something of the joy of the Lord when we encounter people. And the reality is, when you're in a situation like I've been the last week, where everybody speaks stuff you don't understand, even on the plains you get a little bit of English and a whole heap of Kerala or Tamil or Hindi or something else, or Thai or whatever it might be, and you're struggling to understand what they're saying. The reality is, when a believer says hallelujah, you can say it with them. It's international. It's fantastic. And I joked with the team last week up in Bihar State in Patna. I just said, I'm looking forward to the day when we all speak the same heavenly language and we can understand one another. But I love your hallelujahs and I love your praise the Lords. They say that in English or international, whatever it is. We can get it. Praise breaks down barriers. Jesus, and this scripture says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Are you part of the earth? Yes. You can say yes. Are you part of the earth? Yeah. So we're to shout for joy. We're to praise. That ought to be the attitude of our life and our heart. And what happens is, it breaks down barriers between people. My father and I, when we were sharing ministry at Thornleigh for 10 years, we served together. Dad was, if you can believe it, my father was my associate and my support. And it was an amazing privilege, but we had two main exit doors in our facility. And Dad would be on one and I'd be on the other, and we had an agreement. And Dad encouraged me in this early on, and I've always sought to do it. Always, ever since. Any culture, any place. Thank everybody that you see for something. Praise them, acknowledge them for something. Even if it's so good you came to church today, if that's all you can muster. Something positive and praiseworthy innately. But if you know what's been going on in their lives, you're able to give something very personal and real, you do that. Friends, it changes the tenor of a place. When you say something positive to another person, when you praise a person legitimately for something, it changes the way they respond. I remember when I was practicing to become a teacher, it's something I did with every child. I tried to encourage them, tried to get a smile out of them, and a classroom atmosphere changes through praise and encouragement. So it works on a personal level, but it works on a spiritual level as well. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Now we've got to learn to do that now, because friends, we're going to be doing it for eternity. And my suggestion is, if you want to get ready for heaven, start it now. Okay? If you don't believe me, read Revelation 5, 4, 5, 6, 7. Have a look at what they're doing, and that's what we're going to be doing. And I read just recently in our journaling, I was encouraged in Matthew's Gospel, because it reminded us that we are going to be, it doesn't say we're going to be angels. Do you know what God's Word says? We're going to be like angels in eternity. So the reality is, we're going to be part of this angelic horde praising and worshipping God repetitively. So when those of you who are my vintage and we sing some repetitive songs, don't get upset. Practice for heaven. All right? The younger generations are teaching us something. We're going to be repeating stuff in heaven. We're going to be worshipping God with the angelic beings. And it's something for us to look forward to. When you praise the Lord, you'll come to know other people better. When you praise the Lord, get this, you're going to work better. You're going to work better. Now, we know from the epistles that Paul says our true boss is God. It's not our boss, or it's not you as the boss and your people. It's God that we serve, that we work for. And if we're working for God, for our human bosses or authorities, it alters the way we go about things. Look at verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. All right? It doesn't say worship the Lord with sadness. It says with gladness. And some of my darkest times, the biggest challenge for me was to thank the Lord for what was going down. And I remember having a big debate with my father theologically at one stage. He says, son, you don't have to thank God for everything. That you can't do that. You can praise God, but don't thank Him for everything. I said, Dad, you're teaching me to go against Scripture. And there's a Scripture in Thessalonians and another Scripture in Ephesians. One says thank God in every situation, and the other one says thank God for every situation. Even the bad stuff. Yeah, even the bad stuff. Why? Because God's at work. He's allowed it. And if you allow it, it'll change you for the good, not the bad. But if you focus on it negatively, you're going to ruin your own life, but you're going to influence and ruin the lives of the people around you. And that's why the psalmist says when you praise the Lord, it will help you do your work better. Serve the Lord with gladness. Some of us get up in the morning, don't we, and we say, when morning gilds the skies, I can hardly open my eyes. And we have such a negative view on the world, instead of, as one of the brothers, African brothers, this morning in our prayer time earlier, he prayed, this is the day the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. And then he launched into, I don't know how many things he thanked the Lord for, Rod. How many do you think? 20 or 30? He just went on one after the other. He just started thanking the Lord for this, that and everything else. And I thought, brother, are you going to stop and let somebody else pray? My goodness, he was so full of praise. But it was wonderful because, you see, he made a choice like the psalmist says. I will. Not I might. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Don't waste a day, friends, with the wrong attitude. Praise changes a day. I will rejoice and be glad in this day. I will rejoice in the Lord even though my circumstances are tough. I will rejoice. I will praise. See, it makes all the difference in the world. Do you know, I had a girl come straight up to me after the first service and she said, John, my father owns a dairy farm. I owned a dairy farm for 40 years in New Zealand. I said, yeah. She said, he did exactly what you told us this morning. And I just want to tell you, it works. He had the happiest dairy farm in the area. He had the best dairy farm in the area. I said, what did he do? He played music. And we could hear the music in the farmhouse from the dairy, which was 500 yards away. And she said, we could hear the music, and above the music, we could hear Dad singing all the time he was with the cows. Do you know what they discovered in America? You play hymns. You play classical music. If it's classical music, milk production goes up 12%. If they play hymns, milk production goes up 16%. Get that? You play rock and it goes backwards. Some rock. Okay? Now the reality is this. Even nature knows that you serve the Lord with gladness, life and stuff goes better. And they're doing research in a variety of ways. They've discovered, you know how I found this fascinating, listening to a futurist talk about the science of this. Do you know where it talks about the hills will clap their hands and the mountains and all this stuff, and there's all this joy and it's bringing nature into it? Did you know that trees sing? I didn't know trees sing. But they've been able to measure. And do you know, I've actually discovered, Mum has proven this to me. See, Mum speaks to her plants. And she gets out and she enjoys her plants. And every plant Mum has grows. Well, I speak to my plants. I used to. And I was frustrated that they wouldn't grow. So they picked up my frustration. And a lot of my plants died. So I've learnt now to water my plants, to speak to my plants, to, I don't sing to them. That wouldn't be helpful. But I am positive around my plants, and all my plants are growing. Now, you think I'm joking? Try it. If you're not a green finger. You see, God sang or spoke the world into being. Everything scientists have measured now gives off sound waves, song, voice, words. Everything. And the reality is God wanted everything to be in harmony, and now there's disharmony. And if you're able to recreate the harmony, things flourish. Best way for you to do that personally? Praise. Things are tough? Praise. God, you're in control. I'm trusting you. I'll praise you. Number three, if you praise the Lord, you'll get to know yourself better. Ah. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Praise is a test of our character. The crucible for silver, Solomon said, and the furnace for gold, but man is tested by the praise he receives. It implies two things. A crucible or a furnace tests metal. Praise tests a man. If you want to know what someone is really like, look at what they praise. Look at what they think is wonderful. And that will help you understand who or what a person is really like. Second aspect to this is how we respond to praise tells us something about ourselves and helps us get to know ourselves better. You remember when the new song hit the hit parade in Israel? Saul has slain his thousands, and then they sang, but David has slain his tens of thousands. And how did Saul react to that? He wanted to put a javelin through David. It revealed what was in Saul's heart. Now friends, one of the tests of any Christian leader is, are we able to celebrate and acknowledge the good things that are happening in the lives of others and their ministries? We acknowledge and praise God for that. Or do we become resentful? Or somebody else receives a blessing in their family or the church or whatever, are we able to celebrate with them, or do we... we're not so happy about it. We're envious. It reveals stuff about us. And notice what verse 3 says, we're not God. We need to understand He's the one that's in control. Even though Satan would deceive us and tell us we know what's best, God is God. God knows what's best. The second thing we notice is it's God who made and is making us. And the devil sure gets into us on this. He'll tell us we're not worth much. He'll tell us we're a failure. He'll try and accuse us. He'll try and condemn us. If we could just realize, hey, whatever's happening, God's at work here. God's shaping me. God's helping me grow as a person. And then the final thing in verse 3 is we're the sheep and He's the shepherd. So don't try and do God's job for Him. Don't try and find the faults in others. We've got enough of our own. Let's keep the focus where it ought to be, and if only we could learn to praise God, it'll make all the difference. Number 4. When you praise the Lord, you're going to worship better. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. You see, if we praise God all week and then we come together, we're going to lift the roof off. I mean, last Sunday I was in a small room, about a third the size of this, with about 60 people, and all I had was bongo drums and their voices. And man alive, I at times put my fingers to my ears. The volume was so loud. Sometimes we come together with anything but an attitude of praise to church. And friends, God wants us, when we gather together, to come together out of a week of praise to praise. Not coming to praise because we haven't been doing that throughout the week. He wants us to keep our focus upon Him. So when we enter His gates, when we come into the environs of the gathered community, it's with joy in our hearts and an expectation that God is going to do something special for us. And then finally, look at this fifth verse. When you praise the Lord, guess what? You're going to get to know God better. You want to get to know God better? Praise Him. For the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Can you say that with me? His faithfulness continues through all generations. Say it again. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Does that include you? Does that include me? Yes. God's faithful to you. He was faithful to those who have gone before. He's going to be faithful to those who follow. God is faithful. His faithfulness is new every morning, we learn in Lamentations. It's new and fresh every day. It's new. I wish somebody had given me this secret years ago. It wasn't until really the early 90s that I really came to understand this. It was before I came to South Perth to minister. The Lord broke through in some very difficult circumstances, and I determined from that day on, every day, I don't want to waste a day. I don't know about you, I don't want to waste a day. Life is too precious. And I've got less days now than I had then. I don't want to waste one of them. Praise changes our perspective. And if you want to do a little Bible study, you look at James 1, 13 to 17, and in it he's saying, you're not tempted, God's not tempted, and God doesn't tempt us. Doesn't say that. But you know what he goes on to say? He finishes up and he says, the way you defeat temptation is by praise. You focus on every good and perfect gift that comes from God above. You focus on the Father of the heavenly lights. You focus on the God who doesn't change. He's faithful. He's there in every circumstance. And James is saying, if you're tempted to sin, look up and remember how good God is. Remember that temptation is only the devil's substitute for God's goodness. You'll settle for second best. What God has for us is what he wants for us and desires. I shared this story with you years ago. William Sangster was one of my father's favourite pastors. And he told the story of a little girl who was in a London hospital. And she had a crippling disease that was eventually going to take her life at a tender age. And she was strapped in a box for most of the day. It was all they could have for her. They would that way be able to hold her upright. And when Sangster went to pay her a pastoral visit, and he was her pastor, he learned of how the little girl would have her box taken and she would be put on the ledge of the windowsill. And she would spend her night on the windowsill. And Sangster said, why do you do that, darling? And she said, when I wake up through the night, I just look out through the window. And I look at all the stars. And she says, I've got a star for everyone. And I've got a star for you, Pastor. It's over there. And he pointed to the star. And she had her stars. And then her face went sad. He said, what's wrong? She said, I've run out of stars. Now, I don't know about you, but there's an awful lot of stars up there. But that little girl had touched something of God in her perspective for life. She had so many things she wanted to pray for and praise God for. She had run out of stars that were in her view and within her window. You see, when we praise the Lord, we get to know God better. We get to know others better. We get to work better. We'll actually get to know ourselves better. And if you praise God, you will get to worship better. He wants us to praise because praise changes things, and particularly it changes us and it changes the God that we worship. Let's pray together. Father, some of us need to change our mindset. Some of us live and our lives, the glass or the life we have is half empty, it's half gone, it's negative. We struggle to see the light of day. And I want to thank you that you've given us in this psalm a pattern that can alter the way that we live, alter the way that we view life, alter the way that we view others, alter the way that we view you, alter the way we worship. And Lord, I ask that by your Spirit, you would help us continue to put on the garment of praise for any spirit of heaviness. That you would help us to keep a God focus. That you'd help us not look at ourselves, but that we would be prepared to look at you and that we would praise you. And I thank you that that's something at whatever stage we're at, but even as the years advance, that's something that cannot be taken from us. Lord, help us to praise you. Because I thank you that in doing that, you will change us and help us become better people. I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.